Unit 1 on KUAF 91.3 FM.
St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Fayetteville is hosting Bishop Gene Robinson as the keynote speaker for its annual McMichael Lecture Series this coming weekend. Bishop Robinson is the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church, elected in 2003. He took an early retirement from that post late last year and is now a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich spoke with Bishop Robinson by phone last week and brings us his story.
Vicki Jean Robinson was born 1947 into poverty in rural Kentucky to Imogene and Victor, tobacco sharecroppers. Their firstborn infant son, who survived a traumatic birth event, was soon baptized in the Disciples of Christ faith. The intensely religious little boy vowed to follow Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. But Vicki Jean grew up knowing he was somehow different. In college, he sought to be cured from his attraction to men by undergoing therapy and serving God. He graduated from the University of the South in 1969 with a BA in American Studies and History. In 1973, he completed his Master's of Divinity degree at the General Theological Seminary in New York, and was ordained deacon and then priest, serving as curate at Christ Church, Ridgewood, New Jersey.
What drew me to the Episcopal Church was the sense of history, this connection through the apostolic succession all the way back to the disciples themselves. And also, I loved the liturgy. The disciples claim not to be a liturgical church, but you find out how liturgical it is if you try to change anything in the Sunday morning service. So it's not a matter of being liturgical or not liturgical. It's a matter of recognizing that you have a liturgy. And I found the language and the drama of the Episcopal liturgy to be very compelling. I loved that you had to get out of your seat and go to the altar rail to receive communion. And I loved the beauty and pageantry of it. So in some ways, it felt like a completion of my faith and practice in the Disciples' Church.
While in seminary, Robinson met and dated Isabella McDaniel. They married in 1972. But he made his spouse aware of his orientation from the very beginning. After 14 years of marriage, the couple sought an amicable divorce. They continued to co-parent their two daughters, who are now grown. In the autumn of 1987, Robinson met Mark Andrew, a Peace Corps recruiter. They were joined in a civil union a decade later. After serving as longtime assistant to the Bishop of New Hampshire, Gene Robinson was elected bishop of that diocese in the summer of 2003, the first gay man in the history of the Episcopal Church to be consecrated as such. The event triggered a schism between liberal and conservative factions of the Greater Anglican Communion, as it's called, which persists to this day. Finally, Bishop Gene Robinson and Mark Andrew were married in January of 2010 under New Hampshire's newly enacted marriage equality law. But their lives have been fraught with constant death threats. Several weeks ago on NPR's Fresh Air, Bishop Robinson told Terry Gross that after he prayed the invocation at President Barack Obama's inauguration in 2009, police arrested a deranged motorist 2 weeks later, finding evidence that he was on his way to assassinate the bishop and his husband. Living under siege, he said, has become a way of life.
I think, at least currently, there is such a price to be paid for being an out gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender person that you'd have to have your head examined to choose it. And I think it argues for this being something that we can't change, not with prayer, not with wishing for it, not with hard work. I did all of those things. I was in therapy twice a week for 2 years. No one could have prayed harder than I did to be relieved of what I saw as a morally fatal flaw. And the answer I ultimately got from God was, I love you just the way you are, and there is nothing for you to be ashamed of, and there's nothing for you to change. I think it's the experience of most LGBT people that the price to be paid for living a life of integrity and claiming who you are is so great that no one would do it unless they felt compelled to do it, either by their life experience or even by their faith. The fact of the matter is, I felt called by God to come out. Every week, I'm called upon to climb into a pulpit and exhort people to live a life of integrity. And unless you're living a life of integrity yourself, you can't do that very well. And so it felt like a call from God to me to come out.
Bishop Gene Robinson's written extensively about his personal experience, most recently in God Believes in Love, Straight Talk About Gay Marriage, published by Knopf. In the book, he makes the case that Jesus does not condemn those who are different.
We all have to be careful about putting words in Jesus' mouth. But from everything that is recorded about what he said and did, it seems pretty clear that he was concerned about and an advocate for those who were marginalized, either by the society of his day or the religious establishment of his day. And he got into terrible trouble for that, associating himself with prostitutes and tax collectors and lepers and all sorts of societal misfits. And so I think it is not a stretch to say that Jesus, if he were alive today in this culture, would see the plight of gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people as one worthy of his attention and his advocacy.
The Holy Scriptures are the Word of God, Bishop Robinson says, but not the words of God. They were written by men of a certain era and culture. That context must always be taken into consideration, especially when the Bible is used to denigrate.
Sometimes when speaking with biblical literalists, I get the impression that they believe that God said everything God had to say to humankind by the end of the first century when the canon of Scripture was closed. That is to say, when we decided what books would go in what we now call the Bible. But I believe that we worship a living God, not one locked up and confined to that text, as sacred and holy as it is. I believe in a living God that continues to reveal God's self to us over time and as we can manage to hear it. Look at how many centuries we used Scripture to justify slavery. Religious people used Scripture to justify slavery, and now we would be horrified at such a thought. There are many denominations that still use Scripture to justify the denigration and subjugation of women based on Scripture. And now we're asking the big question, could we possibly have gotten it wrong about gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people the way we got it wrong about slavery and about women? And I think the answer to that is yes.
Bishop Robinson writes that GLBT couples continue to languish in a society that denies them basic civil rights. So he took an early retirement from his post as Bishop of New Hampshire in late 2012 at the age of 65 and accepted a position as senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, based in Washington, D.C.
A liberal think tank begun by John Podesta in 2003. John was the chief of staff for President Clinton and managed the transition team for President Obama. I'm a firm believer that there is a rightful role for religion to play in the shaping of public policy, but not quite in the way that the religious right has done it. And so I want to use this next part of my life to see if I can bring a moral perspective to the issues that face us as a nation. And so I will be working on, of course, gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender issues, but also immigration reform, healthcare reform, poverty, the growing rift between rich and poor. You know, the Bible speaks more about the poor and vulnerable and our treatment of them than almost any other moral issue. And society seems to only focus on sex, but the Bible focuses on money and possessions and poverty and the care of widows and orphans and the other vulnerable. And in both the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament and the Christian scriptures of the New, we hear that we will be judged by how we care for the most vulnerable in our midst.
But Bishop Gene Robinson will always have to reckon with being an internationally recognized historic religious figure.
You know, the election of me as the Episcopal Bishop of New Hampshire in 2003 was such a jolt. You know, the day before the election, I was just Gene Robinson, and the day after, my picture was on the front page of every newspaper in the world. There was a sort of no ramp-up time for me to get used to being so in the public eye. I certainly resisted the label gay bishop for a very long time. And then after a couple of years, I realized that I had been given this remarkable opportunity and that it would be selfish of me not to take advantage of this opportunity that had come my way. And so I decided that I would stop worrying about being labeled the gay bishop and try to be the best steward I could be of that opportunity. But I must say, after nearly 10 years of that, it still feels surreal. Because, you know, when you're a public figure, you're sort of a walking Rorschach onto which people project bad and good things. And I am neither the angel or the hero that my admirers think I am, nor am I the devil that my detractors think I am. And I think the trick to being famous without believing your own PR is to hold on to who you actually are, as opposed to those images that people project onto you. And it helps to have a husband who says from time to time, I don't care if you are the bishop, the trash needs to go out, so get on it. He keeps me humble, and my children and my grandchildren keep me humble. And yet it's been an extraordinary honor to play this, I suppose you would call it, historic role.
Bishop Gene Robinson will speak at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Fayetteville this Saturday evening at 7 p.m., as well as Sunday morning at 10 a.m. His keynote is titled, Being a Prophet in a Time of High Anxiety. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
To learn more about Bishop Gene Robinson's visit to Northwest Arkansas, you can go to the McMichael Series page on St. Paul's website. You can also call 442-7373.
The Alma Performing Arts Center presents In the Mood on Tuesday, February 12th at 7:30 p.m. This retro 1940 musical review features singers and dancers with the String of Pearls Big Band Orchestra. Tickets and more information are available at almapac.org or 632-2129.